The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Some crimes are so heartbreaking or shocking that they change laws, change society, or even earn the label crime of the century. But the stories that made headlines in decades past aren't necessarily remembered today. I'm Amber Hunt, a journalist and author, and in each episode of this show, I'll examine a case that's maybe lesser known today, but was huge when it happened. This is Crimes of the Centuries. In the summer of 1980, Klaus von Bülow was having trouble with both of the women in his life, his wife Martha, whom everyone called Sunny, and his mistress, actress Alexandra Iles. As we discussed last episode, which was part one of this two-parter, so consider backing up if you missed it, Alexandra did not want to continue her relationship with a married man, so she gave Klaus an ultimatum. Either you leave your wife, or I'll leave you. Now, she'd given this ultimatum before, and it hadn't led to any finality in the situation. In fact, Sunny had fallen ill several times, which Alexandra worried was triggered by the affair. The guilt was enough that Alexandra pulled away from Klaus, but he assured her that their love wasn't to blame for Sunny's sickness. Sunny's alcoholism and depression were at fault, he insisted. And in fairness, if he had shared any of the doctor's reports with Alexandra, they would have seemed to back him up. Because while those reports weren't definitive as to a cause, they at least pointed to a real medical condition. And that probably made it harder for a woman in love to stick to her guns when she insisted her lover leave his wife. It gave him more wiggle room to say, "Oh geez, you know I'd leave her if I could, but things are really messy right now. How would it look if I up and left while she was suffering?" On December 1st, 1980, Sunny von Bülow had been sick, then she seemed better, and then was discovered in bed with a serious head injury. Her servant, Maria Schwahammer, later testified about how she found Sunny that day.
"Then she was full with blood, and there was a big puddle of blood on the carpet, and she was laying on the bed. She had a hole in the back of her head."
It was assumed Sunny had fallen and hit her head, though it wasn't clear what she had hit her head on. And it seemed odd that Maria, who had been in the house when Sunny would have fallen, didn't hear any thuds or commotion that you'd usually expect from a fall like that. Maria tried to talk to her employer when she found her bleeding.
"I went into her room and I tried to talk to her. And she responded, but her speech was so slurry, I couldn't understand her."
Sunny was taken to a hospital quite close to home, then transferred to a different hospital some 100 blocks away. Her condition was bad enough that she remained in intensive care during part of that stay. Doctors tried to figure out what had triggered this latest spell, which included diving into her dietary habits, a line of questioning that lawyers would later grill Maria on as well.
"Approximately how much would you say she weighed?" last time you saw her conscious?
Maybe 140 pounds.
At her lowest weight, how much would you say she weighed?
125.
And how tall is Martha Van Buren, do you know?
About 5'8".
Taller than me?
Yeah.
Doesn't take much, does it?
Yeah.
Hardy har har, get it? That lawyer's pretty short. Anyway, Sunny returned home 5 days later, seemingly much improved. And yet, it would be less than 2 weeks after that until she'd slip into a coma, never to reawaken.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Here's what happened in the Von Bulow home 5 days before Christmas on December 20th, 1980. Sunny was not a tree goes up after Thanksgiving kind of woman, so she had just sent for and received a Christmas tree by delivery. She had also sent her youngest child, Cosima, out with the houseman, John Birdie, to fetch the family's ornaments. Much of the day was then spent decorating the tree and, per author William Wright, quote, festooning the house with flowers and greenery, end quote. That night, the family had an early dinner, though Sunny didn't eat anything substantial. She was, as her employee would later recount for a jury, on a diet.
Do you know what kind of a diet she was on?
She had grapefruit juice and chicken soup. Clear chicken soup without noodles or meat, only chicken broth, but home cooked.
That sounds miserable to me, but Gwyneth Paltrow might approve. Still, on this day, Sunny allowed herself a little leeway on her diet and indulged in a big dish of vanilla ice cream with some homemade caramel sauce. As the family waited briefly for Sunny to get ready, Klaus opened up to his stepson Alex from Sunny's first marriage and said he wasn't happy living off of Sunny's money, and everyone in Newport knew of their less-than-equal marriage. It was an odd conversation that left Alex feeling uncomfortable. When Sunny was ready, everyone went to the movies in town. For the record, their flick of choice was 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton, Lily Tomlin, and Jane Fonda. They were all home by 9. The sequence of events now will get scrutinized repeatedly, but this is sort of what is agreed upon. Sunny excused herself to go to the bathroom, returned carrying a glass of what likely was ginger ale, chatted with her children for a half hour, asked Von Bulow to bring her some leftover chicken soup. He left to fetch it. Sunny started to slur her words. She fell. Asked if she was all right, she said yes. Helped to bed by her son. He left her in the care of his stepfather, who I might remind he does not trust, but okay. Klaus said later that he woke up at 5:30 a.m. to find his wife asleep. He said he carried on with his day, letting the dog out, reading the paper, making some business calls, chatting with his daughter and stepchildren around 11, then was surprised to see his wife was not up and went to their bedroom to see about her. When Alex joined him there, his mother was lying on the bathroom floor with her lips swollen and bleeding, likely from hitting the ground. A Newport firefighter got there first, noting that she had a faint pulse and was strikingly cold. I should note here that Sunny liked sleeping in the cold. Maria said as much at trial. A bedroom window was almost always open overnight, and that was the case this night, even though it was mid-December and below freezing. But Sunny hadn't been found in the bedroom. She was found in the bathroom.
Her bathroom was always warm.
Are you familiar with the bathroom in Newport?
Yes, I am.
Is there a heating element in the bathroom in Newport?
Yes, the bathroom has, on top of the central heat, a special heater, a hot air heater, which was always on.
Maria's body temperature was 81 degrees. Think about that for a minute. My daily temp runs a bit colder than average, so I'm usually between 96 and 97 degrees when I'm not fighting something. I can't imagine dipping to 90 degrees, much less all the way down to 81. According to the Cleveland Clinic, mild hypothermia is between 89.6 degrees and 95 degrees. I'm doing Fahrenheit here, folks, so apologies for my Celsius fans. 81 degrees is severe hypothermia territory. It's a medical emergency requiring immediate attention. At the hospital, Sunny was immediately diagnosed as having a drug overdose, and numerous vials of blood were taken from her before she went into cardiac arrest and had to be resuscitated by hospital personnel. When stabilized, she was given a shot of glucose, and she was administered a glucose drip via IV. The circumstances were strikingly similar to the incident almost a year earlier, around Christmas 1979. If you remember from last episode, Dr. Yannis Galaitis helped revive Sunny from that comatose spell, after which Klaus asked the doctor to put in writing how helpful he'd been in saving his wife's life. Galaitis had been perplexed by the request, but nonetheless wrote Klaus to say that yes, Sunny had been in dire straits. He referred to her condition as a catastrophic deterioration marked by vomiting and cardiorespiratory arrest. He wrote, quote, "There is no doubt in my mind that by recognizing the change in Mrs. von Bülow's condition and by alarming me, you saved her life," end quote. But this later comatose status was proving impossible to reverse. At the first possible opportunity, Alex went back to Clarendon Court in search for the black bag, the same black bag Alex had discovered after Sunny's previous spell to contain secobarbital and that weird Valium paste. At first, Alex couldn't find the bag. He and his sister Alla did not go public with their suspicions that their stepfather had a hand in whatever had happened to their mother, who seemed in almost suspended animation in her hospital bed. But, as William Wright describes in his book about the case, quote, "Individual eddies of suspicion began to converge. Phone calls flew between Newport, Boston, New York, and Austria. The callers minced no words about what crime they believed had been committed. While they still had little idea how it had happened, they had little doubt about the agent," end quote. The family opted to move Sunny to a major trauma hospital in Boston, where doctors there were not certain she would survive. Soon after, doctors told von Bülow that his wife had no brain activity. He asked the family to allow him to turn the respirator off. He even wrote a letter explaining how much it would take to keep her alive. P.S. She had plenty to do that despite his protests. They said no to pulling the plug and moved her to more permanent care at a New York hospital. Maria would later report that she had seen von Bülow's black bag packed in his luggage when they traveled from New York to Newport for their family Christmas gathering. Klaus had made no effort to hide it.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
E-commerce business owners know the best way to run a successful business is to keep their customers happy. You build trust with your customers one package at a time. That's why smart retailers use ShipStation. ShipStation helps you run the smoothest order fulfillment process possible and cut costs, not corners. ShipStation streamlines all your orders from everywhere you sell into one easy-to-use dashboard, prints shipping labels, manages returns, and tracks inventory. You can even automate repetitive tasks so your team makes fewer errors. Plus, they get you the lowest possible carrier rates. You'll save up to 88% off UPS, USPS, and DHL Express, and up to 90% off FedEx rates. When shoppers choose to buy your products, turn them into loyal customers with cheaper, faster, and better shipping. Go to ShipStation.com/program to sign up for your free trial. There's no credit card or contract required, and you can cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com/program.
Sonny von Bülow's family pretty quickly hired Richard Q, a well-regarded assistant district attorney in New York, to privately investigate the circumstances of Sonny's condition to kind of help the Rhode Island authorities figure things out. I should note, though, that Klaus took no part in the lawyer's hiring. It was the rest of Sonny's family taking this step. Now, this was unorthodox at this point in history. Granted, in the early 20th century, it would have been pretty common for a family to hire their own detective, especially a wealthy family. But standards had changed by this point. Police departments were given more public funds than they had been in the early 1900s, and advances in forensic science had meant that authorities were more concerned about pesky things like chain of custody and preservation of evidence. So while the family clearly thought it was their best option at the time, the hiring of Q did serve to confound several things. One was the legitimacy of any evidence collected, its chain of possession, and its admissibility in court. Next, it made some of the work feel more like a vendetta than an investigation. After all, Q was being paid by people who were growing more steadfast daily in their belief that Klaus had attempted to kill Sonny. And lastly, it made for a legal morass that could very possibly have changed its outcome. The most important example of this, just after von Bülow had tried to convince the family to let Sonny go, Q and Alex had a locksmith go back to Clareton Court and find the black bag, and this time, they discovered it contained a used needle and an empty vial. Q had a brother who was a physician. They took the needle and vial to him, and he said they should send it to a reputable lab to have it analyzed. Both were found to contain a high concentration of insulin. Klaus von Bülow was seen to have motive, Alexandra Isles, means, insulin, and as for opportunity, oh yeah. When exactly could von Bülow have administered the drug? After the movie and before the chicken soup? Maybe in the chicken soup? Two proper police officers were investigating alongside Q, Rhode Island Lieutenant John Reese and his partner, Detective Joe Miranda. They were just as suspicious as Q was about Klaus. They knew about Alexandra Isles, and they knew Klaus stood to inherit many millions in the event she died, and next to nothing if they divorced. They also knew that in February, just weeks after his wife slipped into her coma, he'd gone on a supposed business trip. The timing of this trip was extra suspicious because just days before he left, the family had told his daughter with Sonny, Cosima, that her mother's condition was permanent, that essentially she'd lost her mother. On top of that, Cosima came down with chickenpox. Instead of staying with his sick and mourning daughter, he'd insisted on keeping the business trip, which he had claimed was in New Orleans. I'm assuming you can tell by my tone that this was all nonsense. What he'd really done was travel to the Bahamas with Alexandra and her young son on a family-style vacation. He'd come back with a tan just as the family was celebrating Maria Schwahammer's birthday. Everyone knew, but no one confronted him. As Maria wrote to a friend soon after, quote, "There are police investigations, but they take a long time. This is still a secret," end quote. Now you might be wondering why Alexandra, who seemed so reluctant to remain a married man's lover, would agree to travel with him as his wife lay comatose. Here's a 1982 newscast from the University of Georgia Media Archives that features footage of Alexandra on the stand.
"He said that he loved me.
They've been lovers since 1979. He talked of divorce. They went to the Bahamas after Sonny went into a second coma. She knew of the investigation into Sonny's illness."
"Yes, but I thought it was a pack of nonsense."
Richard Q, the family's private dick, did not. He turned over the black bag and its contents to Detectives Reese and Miranda. On July 6, 1981, Klaus von Bülow was indicted on 2 counts of attempted murder. Before the trial began, Superior Court Judge Thomas Needham opened the trial to cameras, thus forcing it to be moved to Providence because, early on, he had 50 requests from legitimate journalists for seats in the courtroom. The trial began January 11, 1982, and it was the zoo everyone expected it to be. The defense fought with the prosecution, but also with the press over its access to any pretrial hearings. They fought the media exposure. They fought for a fair trial, which no one seemed to think they could guarantee the rich. Wait, what? Yeah, it was a middle-class jury of 9 men and 7 women, the number included the alternates, who were all white and all year-round residents of Newport. But were they von Bülow's peers? Well, they'd have to do. The prosecution's main point seemed to be that Klaus stood to gain $21 million from Sonny's will, most of her real estate holdings, and freedom to marry Alexandra Isles. The defense case amounted to accusing Sonny of the purposeful ingestion of hideous amounts of sugar, which placed her into a diabetic coma from which she had not emerged. Remember, she had eaten a large bowl of ice cream with caramel sauce in the hours before she collapsed. We can't get into every detail here, of course, but if you're interested, the trial makes fascinating reading if you can follow all the various medical experts and the alleged bevy of contents of the ever-moving black bag. Whole books have been written about it. In real time, the case captivated the world. Doyle McManus, a Los Angeles Times writer, wrote that the trial had all the signs of a classic whodunit. Quote, "Agatha Christie couldn't have done it better. The mystery of Klaus and Martha von Bülow has all the elements of a classic whodunit, a comatose millionaire, a black bag full of lethal drugs, an abundance of jealous heirs, a dash of marital infidelity, and an opulent setting in a mansion by the sea. All it lacks is an Hercule Poirot to neatly unravel its tangled threads." End quote. The first trial lasted 6 weeks. The record of it included more than 5,200 pages and made up 26 volumes of bound transcript. The end result was carried live on television stations nationwide.
We interrupt this program to bring you a NewsWatch 10 special report, the Klaus von Bülow trial.
The jury finds the defendant, Klaus von Bülow, guilty.
It had taken the jury one vote to reach unanimity. One of the jurors, David Tafts, said the decision was helped immensely by Alexandra's testimony, who spelled out the ultimatums she'd given Klaus. She had also revealed her own concerns about the case.
You still think it's a pack of nonsense?
I don't know.
I didn't hear that answer.
I don't know.
Do you still love the defendant?
I don't know.
By the time of the trial, she and Klaus were exes. In fact, a new woman, another Richie Rich named Andrea Reynolds, who was rumored to be wearing Sonny's clothes and jewelry, accompanied him to the courtroom every day. By the way, in an article written by Dominic Dunn in August 1985, Andrea insisted this was just not true. She supposedly told Dunn, quote, "I have far better jewels than Sonny von Bülow ever had. I've had fantastic jewels all my life. I wasn't even 20 when I had one of the biggest diamonds around." End quote. Real class act. Anyway, Klaus was said to have remained stoic in the courtroom as the verdict was read. He surely knew the case was far from over.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I can't tell you how often I hear, "Oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat." That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
As soon as Klaus von Bülow was convicted of trying to kill Sonny, for which he was sentenced to 30 years in prison, a new lawyer joined his team to help fight the conviction. Alan Dershowitz is still a well-known name today. In a story announcing he would join von Bülow's defense, the then 43-year-old was described as, quote, "a Harvard Law School professor considered an expert in constitutional law," end quote. His highest profile case at that point was handling the appeal of adult film star Harry Reams, who was convicted in 1976 of obscenity charges for hauling his classic porno Deep Throat across state lines. Dershowitz helped him get that conviction overturned. For the von Bülow case, the lawyer said straight away that his focus would be on the evidence presented in trial and how it was obtained. Specifically, that black bag containing a needle with traces of insulin. Here he is talking in an interview years later.
What happened in that case is they had convicted him of injecting his wife with insulin, and they had three tests that essentially proved it. One, high insulin levels in her body. Second, insulin on the test tube. And third, they found insulin, they claim, in his bag. Ironclad, I mean, I would have voted to convict based on that evidence.
But there was a problem, he said.
Well, it turns out the insulin reading in her body was a false positive. It was one of three readings. The other two were non-existent. The insulin on the needle actually proved that the needle had been dipped in insulin in order to frame what the children believed was a guilty man.
2 years and a month after Klaus's conviction, during which time he was free on bail, news broke that he got the reprieve he'd been hoping for. This is from WJAR-TV Providence on April 27th, 1984.
Good evening. All that time, all that money, all that emotion, all for nothing.
It was the evidence collected by Richard Q that saved Klaus's hide.
The case was built on circumstantial evidence, built around a small black bag which contained the needles and the insulin and found in Von Bülow's closet in Newport. The state didn't find the bag. It was given it by the family's lawyer, Richard Q. Today, the Supreme Court ruled that chemical tests ordered by the state on the things found in the bag violated Von Bülow's right to privacy. There was never a search warrant. And that the files Q collected about Von Bülow were not turned over to the defense. The court said those files were enough to trigger an investigation by the state and an indictment.
Von Bülow's second trial began in June 1985 and had the benefit of better attorneys and more scrutiny of the judge and his rulings and what, if any, of the evidence from the previous trial was admissible. Much of the testimony remained the same, but this time the contents of the used needle and empty vial found by a private investigator and a stepson were deemed inadmissible. That jury voted to acquit. In an interview with a local newscast, Klaus von Bülow spoke about his ordeal.
On hindsight, I definitely feel that it was best that everything was admitted, that in fact Alexander Iles did come back and testified, because it means they threw everything at me that they could. And so there was no missing link.
Speaking of Alexandra, one reporter asked Klaus after his acquittal if he'd been stringing her along all those years, or if he had ever actually loved her. I think his gobbledygook answer gives us some insight into his character.
Were you serious about her at any point?
Yes, that I was, but I think this is so much what I'd call in perceptions, and all of us in our dealings with other humans, we may have ideas about how the other person feels and so on. I'm not proud of my own conduct there, but that's not what I was charged with.
The criminal case was over. The civil case, not so much. See, Dershowitz, for some reason, decided it would be wise to write a book about the case. It was titled Reversal of Fortune Inside the Von Bülow Case. It came out in 1986, just 2 years after Klaus's acquittal. In the book, which was later made into a movie I'll discuss in a minute, Dershowitz got permission from Klaus to include some of their private conversations, as in chats that normally would be protected by client attorney privilege. Sunny's two children from her first marriage, Alex and Alla, tried to make the case that because Klaus had waived that privilege in part, he should be compelled by a judge to waive it in full. Their argument, in essence, was, hey, he's allowed by law to keep his lawyer talks private, but if he agrees to release some of those talks, he should be forced to release all of them. They wanted to learn what else he had told Dershowitz in hopes it might help a wrongful death case they could file. Well, that case didn't go anywhere, but the following year, Klaus sought a divorce from his still comatose wife. Now, if she had died, he would have inherited a lot of money. We're talking tens of millions of dollars. But he essentially abandoned all claim to her money by way of a December 24th, 1987 out-of-court settlement with Alex and Alla. He also agreed to leave the country as part of that settlement. This came soon after Dominic Dunn wrote about Sunny's condition in 1985. He wrote that she wasn't on life support, as some believed. She'd stabilized years earlier, And she wasn't a quote-unquote total vegetable either. But she was unresponsive. The cost to keep her at the medical center where she then resided was more than $500,000 a year. Her $725 a day room was guarded round the clock, and her estate paid for private nurses as well as a maid. Her hair was washed and set twice a week. She was fed through a tube and turned every 2 hours to prevent bed sores. Her family made sure that music was always playing in her room. She wore her own nightgowns and bed jackets, and she slept on nice sheets. Her helpers rubbed her favorite skin creams on her hands and face daily, and they placed highly scented flowers around her room just in case she could still smell. Again, those descriptions were collected at the 5-year mark. Sunny would live this way for nearly a quarter century more. Newport, Rhode Island is not the summer social hub it once was, but Clarendon Court still stands. Sunny's children are all still alive, with Cosima firmly on her father's side, Alex and Nala on the other. They were estranged for a time, but are again a family, albeit one that does not linger at all on the central tragedy in their lives. They have all lived well, having been taken care of by the fortune that belonged to their mother, whom they loved and mourned long before she was gone. Alex and Nala founded the organization now known as the National Center for Victims of Crime. They also started a foundation for the study of coma. Not only had their mother been in one, but so did their father. Prince Alfred died in 1992 after lingering in his coma for 9 years following a 1983 wreck in Austria. As I mentioned before, Hollywood made something out of Sunny von Bülow's tragedy. Reversal of Fortune, the 1990 film which won Jeremy Irons an Oscar in the role of Klaus, was well received, with one critic commenting that it was, quote, a ruthless satire of the rich, end quote.
I am absolutely innocent, and my civil liberties have been egregiously violated.
I've got two black kids facing the electric chair for a crime they did not commit. They are innocent.
Well, before you assume I'm guilty, won't you hear my story?
No. Never let defendants explain. Puts most of them in an awkward position.
How do you mean?
Lying.
But I give you my word as a gentleman.
Oh.
To some, what happened to von Bülow proved yet again that the rich are different, especially when it comes to the justice system. Maybe that was never more evident than the fact that many Newporters, not the natives, but the summer crowd, did not and could not believe that Klaus had tried to kill Sunny, or that many who were not rich believed no one as debonair as Klaus would kill Sunny. Hence, the Free Klaus protesters that came out in droves every day during his trials to show their support for the then-kept man. In an interview with the Archive of American Television, Dominic Dunn was asked if he thought von Bülow did it.
Oh, yes. I felt so. And he hates me a lot, the way I wrote about him.
To this day, many believe Klaus got away with murder. If so, he got away with it for a hell of a long time. Klaus von Bülow died May 25th, 2019, at the age of 92 in London. He lived 11 years longer than Sunny, who had died December 6, 2008, of cardiopulmonary arrest at age 76. She's buried near her mother in Portsmouth, Rhode Island, who, it's worth mentioning, died in 1984 in the same hospital where her only daughter was getting treatment. To research this case, journalist Amy Wilson read The Von Bülow Affair by William Wright and Reversal of Fortune by Alan Dershowitz. Amber, tis I, also watched a few documentaries and perused news coverage from the time leading to this morphing into a two-part episode, because it was just all too fascinating to fit into one. Crimes of the Centuries is available early and ad-free through Grab Bag Collab. Join us at patreon.com/grabbagcollab to hear not just exclusive content related to this show, but to also get access to several other shows on our profit-sharing network. Unless noted in the citations, this case was researched and written by me, Amber Hunt, and produced by Amanda Rassman and Henry Lavoie. Original music is by Bruce Hunt, Andrew Higley, and occasionally by my son, Hunt Van Benskoten. Other music comes from Soundstripe and Epidemic Sound. If you like the show, help us out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. For more information or to recommend a case, go to centuriespod.com. On Instagram, we're at centuriespod, and check out our Crimes of the Centuries podcast Facebook page.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.